Amen. Thank you, Brother Frank. Thank you, musicians. Miss Huffman, for ministering in song tonight. Tonight, for a few minutes, we're going to consider the business of the local church before we get to the business meeting of the local church. Now, tonight is a very important night for us. It's kind of like a wellness check for the Harvest Baptist Temple. You know, sometimes you have to go and get examined because you're not doing so well. Those are not great. Sometimes you go and you get a wellness check to make sure everything is working as it appears to be. And so tonight, in just a few moments, we're going to have that business meeting, kind of like a wellness check. And that's important because you'll note with me in the scriptures that the Bible says that the local church is the pillar and ground of truth in any community in which it exists. And it's important then because the local church is the light and the salt. And if the light and the salt lose its effectiveness, lose its saltiness, what a disgrace that would bring to the name of our Savior. What a danger that would thrust upon those who are lost around us. And so tonight, as we consider simply the business of the local church, the message is simple, it's direct, and it's preparatory, not just for what we're going to do in a few moments, but also for the church ministry in this year to come. Look with me at verse number 18 of Colossians chapter 1. The Bible says, "And he," speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." I want you to consider with me first the description of the church. The description of the church. Throughout the scripture, the church is described in several different ways, in several different illustrations. One of the most important illustrations that we find throughout the New Testament is the description of the church illustrated as a body. And understand that the church is called the body of Christ. The church is called the body of Christ. Within this body, we understand this, that Jesus is the head of the body. You with me tonight? In Ephesians chapter number 1, verses 20 through 22, Paul writes, "Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church." And so as we consider the body of Christ, the description of the local church tonight, we understand that the Bible often describes the church as a body. We are his body. Jesus Christ is the head. Now, let me make a couple of important distinctions. You know what that means? That means that the pastor is not the head of the church. He is the under-shepherd under the Lord Jesus Christ, but he is not the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. It means the deacons are not the head of the church. The deacons are called to be the servants of the church. They are not the head of the church. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Let me go a little further. Not only is the pastor not the head of the church, not only are the deacons not the head of the church, the membership is not the head of the church. You know, sometimes we feel that we live in some sort of glorified spiritual democracy. Ladies and gentlemen, the membership of the Harvest Baptist Temple is not the head of the Harvest Baptist Temple. Jesus is the head of the body. He's the head of the body. Well, what does that make us? In this illustration of the local church being his body, we are the members or the parts of that body. We look at passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So we've got a couple of verses there beginning in verse number 12. Paul wrote this. He says, "For as the body is one," meaning a unified whole, "and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Jump with me, if you would, over to verse number 27. The Bible says this, "Now ye are the body of Christ, but members in particular." So the illustration, it goes like this. Our bodies are made up of many different parts, but they are one body. This is a finger, but it is also a part of the unified whole. And so just as the physical body, many members make up one unified whole, so in the body of Christ is made up of many members which make up a unified whole. I want you to think about it with me. He is our head. And as we are members or parts of this body, we are connected through Christ. And we all serve functions for Christ and each other. You ever consider this, that no part of our bodies is really an end to itself? Let me ask you, what would an arm be without a hand? It would be inconvenient, that's what it would be. Can I go a little farther? What would fingers be without nerves? Without the ability to feel those things that you never see with your eyes, but that are so important to the overall functioning of the body. That no part of the body is an end to itself. And understanding as we look at this, the description of the church, we are his body. Understanding this, we come to understand how God has set this up. This is his body. And to understand tonight that the Bible very clearly teaches that within this body, that God has placed you and God has purposed you where you are for his reason. In that same passage we were looking at earlier, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we look at verse number 18. The Bible says this, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them in his body, as it hath pleased him." Do you know what that tells us? It simply tells us this, that you are where you are because God has placed and purposed and equipped you for that place and that purpose for his glory. That God sets us in these places. We are his body. Understand that tonight. The description of the local church, we are his body. What are we, church? We're his body. What are we, church? So the question we ask is, if the church is the visible representation of the body of Christ here on earth, when they look at us, do they see Jesus? When they look at us, do they see Jesus? The description of his body. It starts with the description of the church. It starts by understanding that we are his body. But as we consider this, I want us to take this a step farther in our thinking tonight. To say, okay, so I understand the description of the church, that we are his body. That ought to lead us to begin to consider the duty of the church. If we are his body, there's got to be his purpose behind it. And there is. Let's summarize it this way. We are his body here to do his business. We are his body here to do his business. Well, what does that entail? I would say first it entails following his headship. Simply this, that we, the body of Christ, have the responsibility to follow the leading of our head, to follow the leading of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how many of us recognize by our study of the Gospels and our study of the life of Christ that Jesus Christ was not here on this earth for show? He wasn't here just to work fancy tricks for people to see for 3.5 some odd years. He wasn't here for show. Neither is his body. We take it a step farther. Not only was Jesus not here on earth for 33 and some odd years for show, he wasn't here for other people to serve him. In fact, Jesus says of his own purpose in Mark chapter 10 and verse number 45, he said, even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Christ was not here for himself, and neither is his body. Can I point you to another verse we looked at this morning that I really didn't get to go into? Colossians 1 and verse number 28. I want you to look at this with me, and I want you to see the word that stands out. Whom we preach, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Is there a word that maybe sticks out to you from that verse? A phrase, maybe a couple words we see a couple times. Every man, every man, every man. You go back to verses 23 and 24, we find it again. Every man. You know what you found when Jesus Christ was here physically on the earth? We found that Jesus Christ went about doing good, that Jesus Christ went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom, that Jesus Christ went about to seek and to save that which was lost. When Jesus Christ left and ascended back to the Father, what was the mission that he gave us? To go unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If we are his body, then doesn't it just make sense that his body needs to be about his business? Doesn't it just make sense that if his business is getting the good news to every creature, that we be as well? The duty of the church is his business. Jesus was busy about the Father's business. How can his body not be? If it's not his business, I would question whether or not it was really his body. You see, the difference between a country club and a church is the mission statement. Church, we don't exist for show. We don't exist to serve ourselves. His body exists for his business. And so what do? As we consider the duty of the church, his business, we follow his headship. Can I give you another thought? This one struck me as I looked at it this week, that we also frame, not only follow his headship, but frame his headship. In other words, the duty of the body is to frame the head in a fitting or an appropriate manner. Have you ever seen somebody in their body and their head just don't fit? It's kind of awkward looking, right? That's a nice way to put it. Kind of awkward. I want to show you a verse in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 15, Paul writes, "But speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." In other words, that the body of Christ needs to be so affected by the truth that we are growing up to fit our head, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? The body can do a lot of things that can detract from the message of what matters. I have been in some services, and after I'm done, I am sure there's going to be a line up here for people to tell me all of my weird things that I do. But I've been in services where every time the preacher said a sentence, he slurped just like that, just like a lizard. Do you know what I don't remember about that preacher? A word that he preached. Do you know what I do remember? The lizard tongue. How sad would it be for Jesus' body, the local church, to seek to be about Jesus' business, and yet some element of the body not be fitting, appropriate to the head? And rather than point people to the message, we detract or distract from the message. You see, I can do something with my hand that will distract you from what I'm trying to accomplish with my head. I can do something with my foot, with my tongue. Parts of my body can serve to usurp the message of the head. And I'm going to tell you, one of the duties of the church is to be about his business, to follow his headship, to frame his headship. If the church is the visible representation of Jesus Christ, then we need to be a fitting body to our head. We are not here to promote a pastor. It's not why we're here. We are not here to promote even an address on a map. We're not here to promote 1022 South Main Street. We're not here to promote a political party. We're not here to promote sports. Let this place never be the church of that pastor or the church of that activity or the church of that program. When they see us, when they hear us, may this always be, hey, that's the church of Jesus Christ. When they see us, may everything we say and do direct people, draw people to our head and draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ. The description of the church, hey, we are his. We can do better than that. We are his. It's even in big letters on the screen for you. Not as big as my letters in the back. They must think I got real problems, but we are his, and his body needs to be about his. Okay, a little weaker. Got one more to add. So we've considered the description of the church. We're his body. We've considered the duty of the church, his business. I want you to think with me thirdly tonight, the demand on this church. Because again, it's great. Great in truth, in theory, but now let's bring it home. So what is then the demand on this church? Simply this, it's wise for all of us to stop and inspect what he expects. For us to be about his business, following his headship, framing his headship. And so we stop. We stop on nights like tonight. We stop on other occasions and we look and we inspect and we evaluate. Is his body doing his business according to his blueprint? His body, his business, his way. We'll get there. So that's why nights like tonight we stop and we look at the book of Acts and we say, okay, his blueprint when it comes to deacons is that we look out among us men who are spirit-filled, men who are spirit-led. We go to Timothy and Titus and we see the unapologetically high qualifications that God gives for the office of a deacon, for somebody to come in that capacity, serve the church, and we seek to do his business according to his blueprint. That's why we'll stop and we'll evaluate our programs tonight. We'll look at our missions program and we'll look at our youth program and we'll look at our RU program. We'll look at other elements of what it is that we do as a church. And you know what we're doing? If we're just running numbers and listening to 3 to 5 minute reports, then it's a failure. It is a failure. It's a failure. Because what it is, it's that wellness check. Is his body doing his business according to his blueprint? That's what we need to look at. And as we even consider those programs that we have to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature, that includes how we spend money and how we budget things. And I will encourage our church. We have a great church as far as this. If you ever have any questions as to the business, the programs, the finances, we are always available and encourage our church family to be informed and engaged in the process. Like tonight, we'll speak in generalities. But as people need specifics, we're happy to have those conversations. We are. So we look at his word. You know, we stop tonight, and as we consider our church, we look at his word and make sure that the structure that we are purposefully building, that the structure that we are putting in place builds the body. It edifies the body to exalt the head. I'm going to tell you what, church, if over the course of time as we evaluate these things, if we find that his body is not doing his business according to his blueprint, you know what we need to do? We need to make changes. That's a naughty word at a Baptist church, but it's a real word for real life. If we find that his body is not doing his business according to his blueprint, we need to make changes. Because what is it, church? His body needs to do his business according to his blueprint. I'll tell you, what we do tonight isn't flashy, but it's foundational. And it gives us a solid structure so that we can operate decently and in order for the glory of God. I am convinced, church. I am convinced in my soul because the scriptures are so clear on the necessity and the importance and the priority of the local New Testament Bible-believing church. I'm going to tell you what, I have no use for false religion because you look at the Bible, many of the Lord's greatest adversaries were religionists. It's the local church that is his body commissioned to do his business his way. What we do tonight isn't something that we just have to do, and it's not something that's just passing. It is an instrumental and pivotal point of our order and structure as a church. And may we never belittle what God makes much of. You look at the New Testament and God speaks of the church some 117 plus times. 114 of those times at least refer to a specific local church. Hey, we need church, don't we? I need church. Biblically, we need to be a part of a local New Testament church, to love it, to attend it, participate in it, invest in it, coordinate our life around it. And tonight, we're going to step back so we can take a look at his body to see that it's doing his business according to his blueprint. But before we get there, before we get to doing a wellness check on our church, I'd like for each of us to take an opportunity here during a time of invitation just to ask God to do a wellness check on our own heart. Because if I, as the member, come to the whole healthy and right as I ought to be, well, that sets the entirety of the body up for good success. And so tonight, as we have considered the business of the local church, we consider our part and the relationship that we have with our own Savior. I'd ask a musician if they would to come. And church, for each of us to take this moment to ask the Lord to prepare our own hearts. Do a wellness check within. Before we get down to corporately considering the wellness of the corporate body. Would you